Welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. It is so good to have you with us, and so good to have Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's, our Sports Look sponsors. Gus Counts with me, Tom Counts, and coming up tomorrow night, Gus, we're going to have our third venue in our first 3 weeks of high school football here on Care Radio. We're going to take in a little homecoming. Atchison High, homecoming Friday night. We're going to be up at Amelia's. They have the Hawks of Harmon.
Tis the season, right?
It is, everywhere. And so we're going to have Atchison Harmon tomorrow night, Saturday afternoon. Benedictine returns home, and they are going to be hosting longtime opponent Peru State. It's a 1 o'clock ball game up at Wilcox Stadium. Carry to pregame at about, 12:45 or so. So got that to look forward to. That all said, as we're going to look forward to a lot of things, we're going to take a quick look back over our shoulder at the high school results and things that went on last weekend around the Care Listing area. And first of all, Gus, we're going to see Atchison tomorrow night. Last week, Atchison's offense, we saw them, way back in week one. Their offense is so good. The defense is so good. And you put those two together, you get 63-0 wins.
Yeah, you got an offense that scored 48 in week one at Ottawa, and then they scored 63 last week. And for Atchison, they're going to have, their first home game. How about that? They're going to start two games on the road. They're going to come home for the first home game. It's homecoming. The offense has been clicking. The defense, only gave up 6 points last week. It's a good time to be a Phoenix.
No question about it. And other games that went on around the conference, Highland Park and Schlegel, that turned into a real scrap down in Topeka. Highland Park prevailing 32-26. A couple of other very one-sided games. 61-0 was the Washington win over Harmon, and Wyandotte with a 61-6 win over Ruskin High School out of Missouri, and Wyandotte was at home last week.
So right now you've got Washington and Highland Park, both are 2-0, and both of those games are in the conference. Atchison's 2-0, but only 1-0 in the conference. Schlegel is 1-1, and then you've got Wyandotte, Harmon, and Sumner all looking for their first wins of the year.
So for Phoenix fan, should be a pretty fun weekend, fun homecoming weekend. Because we look back at the NEKL, you and I traveled out to Tiger Stadium in Effingham, Kansas, where we saw, an abbreviated game.
Yeah, we saw some football.
We did. We saw some football, and we saw JCN coming out on top 36-0 over ACCHS. And tell you what, all the people who have been telling us the JCN is for real, you know what, they're right.
Yeah, JCN, they just look good, right? They scored 5 touchdowns, the one possession where they didn't score, then they turned around. They fumbled the ball at the goal line. The next play, they turned it into a safety. And what would Denny Matthews call that, a truncated game? They just looked the part. And so JCN's a team who I think is going to be really tough to knock off this season. And so, yeah, for ACCHS, it was one of those things where you just couldn't get anything going, right? And they were just before half, maybe had a handful of plays that started to look good. I think new coach, you're starting a new offense, so you're trying to get settled into that. But, man, JCN, 2 games in, they've yet to give up a point. They've scored 62 and 36 respectively. They are going to be kind of the real deal.
In the Northeast Kansas League, Jackson Heights was at home with Mar Hill Mount Academy, and a lot of people thought the Cobras may be in a rebuilding situation, but I'm not sure that's accurate, as Heights was good.
Yeah, Jackson Heights is just a tough team, right? 42 points, they're well coached. They are a team who, under Caleb Wick, he's got that whole program figured out as far as what they're going to run, and what they're going to do is also limit your number of possessions. So you give up a couple touchdowns or you get behind a couple scores, you're going to be in trouble because you're just not going to touch the ball enough to get yourself back into that game.
Pleasant Ridge and Oskaloosa, it was a battle to the end, and Ridge comes away with their first win under their new head coach, 21-16 over the Bears on the road. It was McLouth getting a win at home, 26-6 over Horton, and Troy handled Valley Falls 46-8.
So in the Northeast Kansas League, right now you have Jackson Heights and JCN are both 2-0 in league play. McLeod still undefeated, only 1-0 though in league play. Then you have ACCHS, Oskaloosa, and Pleasant Ridge all at 1-1. And then you got Valley Falls, Horton, and Moorhill Mount Academy looking for their first wins of the season right now.
Well, in order to try to get to those, let's look at the schedule coming up tomorrow night around the area here in the Meadowlark. It will be our game, Atchison hosting Harmon. You're going to have Bonner Springs traveling to Washington. It'll be Sumner hosting Highland Park. And Wyandotte back at home again, this time with Schlegel. In the Northeast Kansas League, ACCHS looking for that W. They're going to travel to Oskaloosa. It will be McClouth hosting the Ravens of Moorhill Mount Academy. Pleasant Ridge at home with Jackson Heights. JCN, the longer road trip of the group, is they will be going to Wabunsee. And rounding it out, it'll be Valley Falls. Wabunsee, Valley Falls is at home. They've got Horton coming in.
Is it hard to believe that here we are, you know, we're sitting at basically the middle of September, but next week some of these conferences are going to jump into district play already?
No question about it. You know, it's that whole, and the way the state does it now, the bigger schools doing the east-west thing, who are again Atchison, much like they were last year, looking at the top of the heap right now. And, yeah, you're going to have district play, and you're going to find a lot of these unusual opponents. And again, it bothers me that you don't get to play the full conference schedule because of that.
Yeah, I mean, so you're basically crowning a conference champion that maybe played three or four games.
Yeah.
You know, so like next week, ACCHS is going to host Rossville. You know, I mean, that's like game one of districts. Now, I'm going to tell you, Rossville's going to be a team coming off of a loss, and it's not going to be a good loss for them because this week, Rossville is going to be at home, so that's a plus. They're getting Topeka Hayden.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, whatever has changed at Hayden this year, it's crazy, right? They beat Olpe 41-7 in the first game. Last week, they dismantled Silver Lake 56-7.
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No,
really?
I mean, they should beat Silver Lake because, you know, 4A, 3A, or 2A, whatever, but
not
that way, you know. And so Hayden has been a team right now. Bill Arnold got his, 200th win, I think I saw the other day. So, good to see them playing well, too. So
he had almost that many wins as a quarterback at Benedictine. Well, probably not quite that many, but he was really good. So congratulations to Coach Arnold and the Hayden Wildcats as we kind of watch how that shakes out for them. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a lot of things to talk about as college football will take center stage here. Sport Look continues right after this. Happy to have you along with us on Sports Look on this Thursday evening on Care Radio. Don't forget to stick around. You've got a bunch of coaches' insight interviews coming up, and you're going to get the word from some of the high school coaches from around the area right after the program here, about the top of the hour. Benedictine Gust took it on the road, took it on the chin Saturday. It was a wild game. It was an emotional game, I think. And BC got down a little bit early, battled back, took a lead, and for the second time in three games, a field goal inside the last minute spelled a loss.
Yeah, and for the Ravens, I mean, there are a lot of things you can look at in that game, and there are things that I'm sure the coaching staff took away from that game. When it's all said and done, it's just frustrating to lose any game, and especially, you know, one to Graceland.
Yeah, kind of a tough situation for the Ravens. And Benedictine, you know, 378 yards sounds like a lot, but in this day and age, it's not a huge, huge number. Grayson had just a little over 400 yards on the afternoon. Ravens passed for 199 as Jackson Dooley was 17-31. Rushing the ball, the Ravens, you know, what do they have? Net yards rushing 179, a respectable kind of a number. I mean, these are numbers probably good enough to win some games.
Yeah, you know, Jay Gathright had 2 for 56, but Dalton Witherspoon had a better game. He was 9 for 50. Sean Mora, 5 for 43. I mean, those are the kinds of numbers you want to see your backs at, either 5.6 or 8.6 yards per carry. But the two big numbers that I walk away from at the end of the night and say, there's three, but the biggest numbers are third down efficiency. Benedictin, 2 of 10 on third downs. Graceland was 10 of 19. Got put in third down a lot, just couldn't get the defense off the field. The other thing that jumped out at me, 5 penalties
there
for 100 yards.
Killer.
Can't be doing that. And then finally, the thing that I think that falls apart for me especially is the number of fumbles that you had in that game.
You turned the ball over
that many times. So, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 fumbles, you know. So, 2 of those turned into actual turnovers. Jackson had... He's going to get credited for 2 interceptions. The last one was on the final play of the game, so basically walks away with 1 interception.
So for the Ravens, it's a matter of, what do? You lick your wounds a little bit, and you come back, and you rededicate yourself. The latest national polls have come out, and it's certainly the first poll during the season that was announced over the weekend, and Benedictine still in the top 20, but just there at number 20.
Yeah, so Benedictine falls from 7 to 20 at 1 and 2, and I'm going to tell you, They got good treatment, right? I mean, to only fall to 20. You know, you look at Concordia, Michigan, who's right behind them at 2-0. OU Arizona's only 1-1. You've got Evangel sneaking into the top 25 at 3-0. They're at number 25 right now. So, again, 1-2 is not where you anticipated to be, but last year, I think I looked it up the other day. 4 teams made the national playoffs with 3 losses. Now those 4 teams all went on the road for round 1 and things like that. But, and one of those teams was Kaiser, who made it to the national title game. But Kaiser's 3 losses were a different animal because they were all against, like, Division 1 AA teams. So, Benedictine, it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle and your back's against the wall now.
You look around what happened in the conference over the course of last week, and what I look at it, with the exception of one game where both teams are pretty inept, frankly. A lot of points, man. The offenses, I mean, have really come to the fore. Baker scores 45 as they shut out Clark and Baldwin Saturday. Grandview scores 45. They beat Missouri Baptist 45-13. You had 45 by Mid-America as they eke out a 45-44 win against the Peru team that we're going to see this week. You also had, you know, Missouri Valley, 33-28 over William Penn, and of course the low-scoring game. Central Methodist on the road wins at Culver Stockton, 16-11.
Yeah, and Culver Stockton was one of those teams who I thought was maybe coming back.
Did they not
bit.
Score a touchdown?
We're gonna hold on. I can tell you real quick, but they were one of those teams that looked like they were coming back. They had a coach that has been there now. They scored all 11 points in the fourth quarter, so. Culver Stockton, a 7-yard touchdown pass, 2-point conversion was good. So that,
there's your odd number.
So touchdown, 2-point, and then hit a 35-yard field goal. So, but Culver Stockton is a team who last couple of years looked like they were starting to make a little bit of a rise. They've kept a coaching staff together. They've been able to get a recruiting class from freshman year to senior year and kind of keep it somewhat together, but this year just seems like they're back to struggling again.
Yep, and it's the conference, again, is pretty, pretty good. Conference players of the week, we saw Gerald Monroe of Grayson was the offensive player of the week.
Well, he also went on to be national player of the week.
Is that, see? So, yeah, I don't know if you want to have that as something on your resume.
Yeah, yeah. Monroe went on to be not only conference player of the week, but he went on to be national player of the week. Also, the Peru State kickoff return guy, Jordan Kemp, was the conference player of the week, and he was the national player of the week as well on special teams. And can I tell you, if Jayshon gets that one into the end zone on the last touchdown, he would have had 2 kickoff returns. He would have been the national player of the week. So.
Yep, so anyway, the conference had, you mentioned Kemp and we mentioned Moore, and the last guy is going to be Jonathan Bailey, out of all places, the Vikings, Jonathan Bailey, they knocked off Penn, and two interceptions and a pickup on the last play of the game to seal the deal. So
there's some good games going on around the conference this Saturday afternoon.
Well, you know, you look at it, and I'm not so sure with what we're going to have. I think Baker at Grandview might be okay. I mean, Grandview will win that game by, what, three scores?
Yeah, we'll kind of get a better gauge of exactly what Baker has this year, right?
Central Methodist is going to go to Clark. That will be an interesting close game between a couple of teams who are having some early season struggles. Also, Missouri Baptist at Culver Stockton, I think, will be a competitive game between two teams that won't get a lot of wins this year.
Maybe I shouldn't have said good games. I should have just said competitive games.
Yeah. Missouri Valley Graceland won't be that competitive. I don't suppose it was Graceland's hot. Graceland's just, they're just good.
Yeah. But I think Paul Troth going against his old defensive coordinator, Monty Rowe, there at Graceland. You want my upset of the week?
Is that it?
I think Valley goes into Graceland because, again, we saw the Graceland's quarterback get there after us last week.
True.
So I just think that I think Graceland's one of those teams that's going to ride a little too high and then get undercut at some point by somebody they just really shouldn't.
William Penn is going to go to Olathe, and they will be playing at Mid-America Saturday. And, of course, our game here on K-Radio, the Benedictine Ravens at 1 o'clock at Wilcox Stadium. So you got a noon game, Baker Grandview, 2 1 o'clock games, Central Methodist Clark and Benedictine. And then, again, three more 6 o'clock night games, the Grayson, Mid-America, and Culver Stockton host games.
You ever notice that Grandview likes the noon game? They're always noon kickoffs.
Can't wait to play.
Nothing wrong with that. I enjoy a good noon kickoff.
You know, when you're in the top, what, two in the nation, you know, you're ready to go.
You can do what you want. But, yeah, some interesting games around the conference this week, some games that I think you've got to at least keep an eye on. So,
well, we're looking forward to them and watching how this conference shakes out. I'm looking forward to Benedictine, you know, again, shaking it off a little bit and coming out Stars and Stripes Day. And they're going to have... We need to talk about this for just a minute. They're going to have some special features. Not only are they going to unfurl a massive flag on the field prior to the game, and, of course, the Raven Regiment with the national anthem, and then at the conclusion of the national anthem, there's going to be a flyover. And so we want everybody to be aware that when you see this massive, massive, okay, KC-46 tanker come flying across, you know, in USAF colors, it's okay. They're there for the game. They're there, to little tip of the hat, if you will, to the Stars and Stripes and the Armed Forces. And, by the way, the KC-46 is a massive Boeing aircraft. You will think it looks like a 737, like the Southwest planes. It's really a 767, which is even a little bit bigger. And this thing is replacing the old KC-135s that you used to see, because it is bigger. It's got a lot more bells and whistles. And the very first one of these, and this might be number one, was sent to and is based out of McConnell Air Force Base, Wichita.
So they do a lot of those tankers out of McConnell.
Big stuff. Yeah, that's a big deal down there.
Okay. Now that we're just kind of off, you know, off the beaten path talking about flyovers.
Uh-huh.
Favorite flyover plane?
Oh,
A-10. Oh, see, I like the stealth. You got to go with that. It drives me nuts when you turn on the Chiefs game and all of a sudden here come the Warthogs. I'm
yeah.
like, they're okay, but, you know, give me a stealth any
day. Yeah, we do. And then we got to finish up talking about things about which you need to be aware, okay? As the flyover comes over at the onset of the ball game, at the beginning of the ball game Saturday, the U.S. Army has brought, for lack of a better term, a cannon, okay? Now, it's not going to be shooting live rounds, but it's going to be big, and it's going to be obvious, and it's going to be, more than anything, really loud. Okay? If you've ever been to Missouri Valley, they got a little cannon. It's going to be big. At the end of the flyover and the national anthem, they are going to fire the cannon, so be ready for the loud boom. And then they promise a cannon shot after every Raven touchdown. So we're hoping that, you know, we hear it a lot.
Probably going to hear it a lot.
Yeah, so be aware. That's what's going on. All is well. Having a little fun at the football game. That all said, we're going to take a quick breather. We're going to have a visit with a Raven player. It'll be Jay Sean Todd joining us, and Sports Hook continues right after this.
Got Jay Sean Todd with us, Benedictine football player. Jay Sean, how you doing, young man? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm all right. We're going to start the conversation off. I'd like to get a little Jay Sean biography. Tell me about home, where you're from, and things like that.
I'm from Los Angeles, California, the San Fernando Valley, to be exact, California. Grew up, nice family, nice mom. I had a great life coming up, so yeah.
Got siblings?
I have a sister, yes. Older sister, about 25, birthday coming up this September 9th, actually.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Was she an athlete when she was in school?
She was cheerleader, yes.
So, there you go.
Competitive cheer, yep. I could not say that. It's not a sport. She would kill me for that.
So she got the looks in the family. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Well, that's my twin, actually.
Oh, real. There you go. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about, obviously, high school. There was a little high school football went on, right? Tell me what your position was, what you played there.
Honestly, it's kind of transparent to what I do now. Bit everywhere, athlete. I got to do the Wildcat, but mostly receiver. They aligned me up in the backfield a little bit, too. So a little bit of what I do now, yeah.
And what was the name of the high school?
I went to a couple of high schools, actually. Started off at Golden Valley, transferred to Alamany, and then I finished up at Oaks Christian my senior year.
And what was the mascot, Oaks Christian?
Lions. We were the Lions.
There you go. Were you any good? Come on.
That was a great school. Great school, great coach. Shout out to Coach Collins. Yes, sir.
Okay. And have your teammates from that high school team go on playing college ball somewhere now?
I got a lot of boys, especially from Alamany. Shout out to them. A lot of boys at SC, Oregon State, Oregon. I could keep going on and on. Yeah, Stanford. They got a lot of guys out there that got out. Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Okay. Today, a lot of coaches will tell kids, don't just pick one sport. Play a little bit of everything, you know, while you're in high school and just experience them all. Did you play every sport? I mean, were you, like, each season doing something?
Not in high school, but growing up, yes. I did travel basketball, AAU basketball. I got to have a lot of experience there, a lot of great times there, traveling outside different states. Track was a big one, track and field. I did that growing up. But that is one thing I would push for other people that I did not get to do in high school or did not really pursue. Definitely do multiple sports. Do everything you can do. Track was one thing that I wish I would have stuck with going into high school, but I stopped going into my ninth grade year.
Now, you obviously got to Benedictine to play football, but I would think a guy with your skill set had some opportunities to go to a lot of places. I would think that, you know, there were schools talking to you. How did you pick Benedictine? Tell me a little bit about how the recruiting, who called you? How did you end up coming to Atchison, Kansas from Los Angeles?
Man,
this has got to be a great story. Yeah, I got to feel
it,
like
it puts a smile on my face already just thinking about it. But yeah, I did get the chance to talk to a lot of D1 coaches, D1 scouts, recruits, whatever you may call it. And then once COVID hit, all that, you know, kind of went out the door. And that's when I got the call from Coach Hauser. That's my guy right there. Coach Hauser, he called me, and the talks weren't just about football. It was about life. It was about who I was trying to become, what I was doing to become that person, and what I could do once I do get that role. So he plays a big part and played a big part at that time in me coming out here. He got me on a visit in early February. I came out here, and then the rest is history.
Okay, we got to stop right there. Southern California guy comes to Atchison, Kansas in February.
4 degrees.
Had you ever felt that cold in your life?
4 degrees, never in my life. I was bundled up, though. The snow was pretty, though. I liked it. You know, I was new to it. It wasn't windy, so it was a nice day. There's just snow coming down. I couldn't see the field. I didn't see the field, actually, until I came out here for fall camp. So the snow was covered. But it was pretty out here. I cannot lie to you.
So what was it about Benedictine that made you say, you know what, I've seen some other places, and I guess you'd gone to some other places, right?
Yes.
You know, you made some other visits. How'd you pick this?
Honestly, coming out here, having dinner at Willie's, seeing, like, the town spirit, seeing how everybody supports everybody out here, a familiar face out here goes a long way. Conversations are easy out here. People really are genuine. And it's definitely a change of pace from Los Angeles, obviously. Slower change of pace. People are mindful of you out here rather than just, you know, kind of walking past you, people make sure to say anything. So the hospitality out here is unmatched, and my family felt that as well as I did. So definitely just appreciated that and wanted to build off of that.
Does your family get an opportunity? I mean, this is a long trip. Do they have had a chance? Do they ever get a chance to come and watch it?
Multiple times. So they came out for Morningside this year, obviously. You know, that was a very big game. First game of the season, they came out to support me. And I think they'll be out on the 28th. I forget which game that is, but they'll be out again to come see me again. But, yes, they come out whenever they can. And it's always a great turnout, always a great game, too.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the academic side. Tell me about your major, your field of study.
Yes, sir. Starting off, I wanted to be a nurse. That didn't really go as well. I don't do well with blood, so I had had a wake-up call.
That was out.
Transitioned into business management, and then now I'm pursuing a minor in exercise science.
Okay. So we've got Jay Sean Todd with us, wide receiver, kick return guy, kind of do it all. You like to do it all?
I do. Wherever you need me, I could probably do it for you.
And that's one of the things Coach Osborne has given you the opportunity. I mean, let's be real candid. You're blessed with a great speed, and you can move. I mean, you're an elusive guy and not easy to catch, so it's got to be kind of fun to get out and do that.
Yeah, it definitely is, especially when the coaches put trust and comfortability in you. It allows you to be, you know, kind of myself, you know. So it's really no hiccups. I got to come in, play free, and then they just feed that confidence into me so that all I can do is build off of it.
Now, when you were a young man, did you see somebody? What was it, a coach or maybe a family member or maybe an athlete, somebody who you kind of modeled yourself after, maybe mentored after, somebody that you set up as kind of a role model?
I have two. I have one that is a friend from back home. His name is Jalen Lewis. I got to watch him a lot.
Watch him out. Tell me about him. What's he do? What's he about?
Oh, my goodness. So that was probably the best athlete I've ever seen to this day. I was a freshman. He was a senior at Golden Valley. He could do everything, and I mean everything. Speed, return, go catch a deep ball, turn a slant into an 80-yard catch, and then kind of a bigger role model at Tavon Austin. Tavon Austin, a guy out of West Virginia, he had a great career there, went to the NFL, had a great career there as well. I think he's still playing to this day, but I watch his highlights before every game. So
is that right?
Yeah, that's my guy.
Is a little inspiration.
Yeah, big inspiration. Yes, sir.
Okay, so a SoCal kind of a guy. What are we talking now that they're gone? I mean, Raiders fan, Rams fan, where you at?
I'm actually not an NFL guy. I have players that I watch, but Ohio State is the team.
Is that right? The Ohio State.
Yes, sir. The Ohio State.
And how'd you pick a Big Ten team?
That's my dad. My dad's from Ohio originally. And then he's kind of just fed that into me, dotting the I, all the good stuff. And just watching all the great players that come out of there and continue to come out of there. It's just exciting to watch them play every time.
So we got to hate Michigan then.
Oh, yeah. We don't talk about the team up north.
There's nothing wrong with that. You got to have the ones you like and the ones that you got to pull against, you know.
Now. You already know.
Yeah, I got you. Well, you've had, you know, guys on the field that you have as role models, and you know, here on this team, this coaching staff, there's some fantastic guys here, and there's a real solid Southern California flavor to the coaching staff.
Oh yeah. Well, Coach Hauser, he's the guy from San Diego, so that was very easy to connect with him. Coach Barraza, both Barrazas actually, they're from San Diego. And Coach Leonard, he's from Arizona, so I kind of consider him close to us. So, but yeah, it's a lot of guys that, you know, kind of have that feel, like that Southern feel. So it's very comfortable with me coming in here, getting to know everybody.
Now, you came in, you know, you made a little visit, but you never know how things are going to go. Right. Is this what you thought it was going to be when you got here now?
This is better than what I could ever imagine, honestly. Coming out here, I was nervous. You know, it's new. Midwest, never really been to the Midwest all that much. So coming out here and then getting COVID, that was a jump scare as well. Getting COVID and then jumping right into a game. But that game, the whole time, everybody taking care of me, it kind of showed me that I was in the right place. People were looking out for me left and right, and nothing's changed. So most definitely.
So your friends back home who say, wow, Jayshon went to Kansas. I mean, do they think that we're out here riding horses and sitting in wagons and
I
stuff?
I get a lot of the yellow big brick road jokes, so that's kind of like the common go-to. But yeah, it's definitely kind of especially when I say Atchison, people kind of say, huh, or what, like, what is that from the first hearing, but yeah, I still get that to this day.
Now, you talked about your academic work and your studies, so yeah. After you get out of Benedictine, what's the plan? What do you think that you want to be? What, 5 years from now, what field are we going to find you in if it goes the way you want it to?
Honestly, coming out of college, I would love to get into real estate with my mother. We've talked about that a lot in Houston, Texas, trying to buy out lots and do something like that, as well as me kind of finding a place where I can get some physical training or physical therapy work so I can work with other athletes, younger athletes, older athletes. And then building off that, I would love to represent other up-and-coming athletes in some sort of agency. So whether I have to go to law school and get my own degree and get whatever I need to do that, but that excites me that I could help somebody else get through that next door. So if I could do that, I would definitely pursue that with no looking back.
So mom's in real estate.
Yes, sir.
So she's got that gift of gab. She's a communicator.
Yeah, she could talk to anybody. I'm talking about anybody. So, yes.
See, and so she has to be a real inspiration for you, too, you know, because when you left L.A., how many people did you know when you walked in the door here, other than a coach? Anyone?
Actually, one person.
Okay.
That Eric Chavez. We played at Alameda together. So, but other than that, no. It's just me out here by myself, kind of in this, I guess you'd say, a new world.
You talk about, you know, meeting people, though, and making friends. I look at this offensive group. Man, I'm seeing some kind of tight-knit bunch out here. Is it what I think it is?
Yes, it's exactly what you see, if not more. We all love each other. And when I say love, I mean love. It's genuine. We look out for each other off the football field just as well as we do on the football field. And we all root for each other. That's the biggest thing. If I come out the game, the next man's up, and it's that simple. We all hope that somebody gets on the board. If you don't have a good game, we hope that the next man next to you does. So, yes, this is exactly what you see.
And there's an excitement about this team and the season. Game one, a bump. You know, didn't go like you wanted to, but it was a great learning experience. And I got a feeling that this team's got some destiny in front of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it might sound a little weird off the first sound, but I had a smile on my face after the game because I know where we can get to after that game, and I know where we will get to after that game. So it's just a learning process, a young team, getting to know what it is and what it takes to be a great team. You know, Morningside is a great team, obviously, so we hope to see them again. But, you know, kind of just focusing on us week to week, I feel like we could go wherever we want to go.
Jayshon Tide, you've traveled, you've been around, you've played ball, different teams. Young man comes up to you and says, Jayshon, man, I don't know. Give me some advice. You know, what would you tell maybe a high school player, young man thinking about, you know, what he's going to do? What would you say to him if you, you know, set him down across the table from you and we're giving him that fatherly talk?
First and foremost, keep God in your corner. You can't do anything without God. And when you do have God in your corner, you can do everything. So have God in your corner. Be yourself. Be confident. Be humble. And always, always be willing to learn from anybody, from a better player, from a lesser player. You can learn from everybody. Take everything that you get. Take it.
Got one last question. I'm going to let you go. This is the most ridiculous question that you're going to get, and maybe the hardest one of all of them I've asked you.
Okay.
Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Which one is it?
The Flash.
The Flash! I love it!
That's my guy right there.
There you go. Jayshon Tide, has been a pleasure. Thanks very much, man. Good luck to you, and go Ravens.
I appreciate it. Thank you, boss.
Back with you here on Sports Look on CARE Radio. Gus, the Kansas City Chiefs. I think everybody came into game one, you know, so spoiled with Chiefs' success, so spoiled with win after win after win, particularly on opening day, but it's not what they got. The Lions were fantastic. The Chiefs were missing Travis Kelce. They were missing passes. And somehow the Lions escaped with a thrilling 21-20 win for them.
Yeah, and if you walk away from that game as a Chiefs fan, I was just more like, well, you didn't play good enough to win that game, right? It's one of those things where you drop too many passes, just didn't play good enough. Now, the defense, though, I thought they played well. They gave up 14 points to a Lions team that you know, was a top five scoring offense last season. So, again, you can't be having those problems against good teams.
No, no question about it. And you know, you look at some people who analyze the past NFL weekend, and they've got the Lions now in the top five in the country because of their performance, and they're not too shabby. Jared Goff did a nice job.
Yeah, Goff's going to be serviceable enough, right? I think the Lions this year will be like the Vikings last year, a team that, you know, could go out and win 12, 13 games, and they're going to be competitive, but they're not going to just, like, wow you every week. They're just going to continue to win games. And so, anyway, I think the Lions are good. I think the Chiefs just didn't play well enough to win that game. So I guess you walk away from the first game, and you're not overly upset as a Chiefs fan. I mean, it's better than losing to a division team. It's better than losing to a, you know, conference team. At least it was an out-of-division, out-of-conference type game.
Yeah, and so with that said, this is going to be a little bit different look for the Kansas City Chiefs maybe this Sunday, because there may be a couple of guys back. Travis Kelce practiced, and so whether he plays or not, I think remains to be seen. Maybe they'll put him out for a play or two just to kind of see how the wheels are feeling. And you have got a signing that Chiefs fans have been waiting for. I'm calling it like a one-year extension for Chris Jones.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it basically is what they did is they gave him an out. Like, they gave him a chance to earn back the money that he's already lost because, again, with the new CBA, you have to take that money away from the player if he's not at training camp. So, can he do it? Sure. Will he do it? Probably not. So, at the end of the day, basically, he got about $1 million more than he was going to get this season. And so it'll be interesting to see. He keeps saying he wants to be a Chief next year and things like that, but they'll just kind of see where things go. I think Kansas City just kind of moved on from it. They said, here was the deal we were going to do, and I think Chris realized that they aren't moving. And so to end it and move on, I think that's kind of where they went.
Yeah, and again, Jones could say, you know, I've got $25 million with incentives, so it's pretty substantial contract. And for the Chiefs, you know, it is incentives. So you perform, you get paid, and if you don't perform as well, you still get paid a boatload of money.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is the Chiefs are fine with paying him out the kind of money. Like, I think he gets an extra $2 million if he's Defensive Player of the Year. He gets an extra $1.5 million if he got over, like, 15 sacks. Right? Those are incentives that if he gets 15 sacks, the Chiefs are just like, yes, take this money. If he's Defensive Player of the Year, that means he was better than Micah Parsons. Sure, take some more money, right? I think that's where it was like, I think Kansas City would have been willing to do these early on. I just think Chris kind of backed into a corner and said, well, they're not budging. Let's see if I can get some incentives out
of this. Is this going to be the way contracts are made more going forward? Because the New York Jets have got to be saying, incentive money would have been better than guaranteed money here.
Yeah, so the Jets are in trouble, right? They're going to be okay this year. They're going to be okay next year. But in 4 years, Aaron Rodgers hits the books for like $63 million cap hit, and there's not much that they're able to do about that. And so, man, that's just a tough break for the Jets and an organization who, you know, put a lot of eggs in one basket.
We were talking about their NFL games going on. You mentioned the Chiefs are going to be at the Jaguars Sunday. It's going to be a noon ball game. Chiefs only 3.5 favorite.
Yeah, Jaguars were in the playoffs last year. Kansas City beat them in that playoff game. But the thing is, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, you don't want to start 0-2. That's not the real story here. You've got to beat the Jaguars because they have a really easy schedule, and a lot of people are picking them to be the one seed in the AFC this year, just because they don't play anybody this year. And so for Kansas City, you really need to get that head-to-head right now.
If you're needing that NFL fix, you can get that tonight. It should be pretty good. Vikings-Eagles, I'm thinking this is a good game. You got two quarterbacks I like.
Yeah, this is one of the better games, you know, for a Thursday night slate. You've got Kirk Cousins. You've got Kirk Cousins. You watched the Netflix.
I know. He and I are very good friends now since I watched that.
But you like Kirk Cousins a little more after that, right?
Much more.
I mean, because you watch it, and before you're like, Kirk Cousins, I could take him, leave him. But then you watch it, and you're like, all right, he's just kind of normal, kind of easy to root for.
Yes. He could be the guy living, you know, next door down the block.
You know? And then the Eagles, you know, they've been so good. That should be a great game tonight. 7:20 kickoff for them.
Sunday at noon, you're going to have a couple of good ones. Chargers are going to be at the Titans, and the Ravens are going to be at the Bengals reeling.
Yeah, what, Joe Burrow only throws for like 80-some yards the other day, so tough break for him. He's going to have to get back on the right foot against the Ravens. That's not an easy task, but the Ravens are also a team who's really banged up after 1 week.
And Sunday, it's not going to be the game it was going to be. The Jets are going to be at the Cowboys. I'm no Cowboy fan, although I know a lot of them, okay? And I'm going to tell you, they look stunningly good, and people think they might be the best team in football right now.
Yeah, the Cowboys looked really impressive the other night against the Giants. And I think it also helps that you played in front of, you know, you were the standalone night game, so everybody's just tuned in. But there was nothing that that team couldn't do. So, yeah, I think the Cowboys are going to be a team to be, you know, feared in that NFC.
Sunday night game is going to be Dolphins at Patriots, probably big in the division, but not too big for me. Is the Finns should just run away with that. They're only a 3-point favorite. They should win that by a ton, shouldn't they?
Yeah, but everybody gives Belichick the, you know, the little foot up that he can probably outsmart the Dolphins. And I honestly do think that he can for a while, but again, I do think the Dolphins win.
And if Monday, what's going on with Monday?
We got the Monday double dip, right? Last year and the years prior, we usually get the double dip on like week one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me two Monday nights. Don't know why they moved it to week two this year, but I'm all about a good twofer because neither game jumps at me, so I can flip between the two.
I was going to say, the problem is instead of being consecutive, they're simultaneous.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, they're, you know, within an hour of each other.
Saints at Panthers, by the way, the 6 o'clock game and 7 o'clock game is Browns at Steelers. By the way, Browns have made some believers.
Yeah, especially after beating the Bengals. A lot of people like what they're doing right now there in Cleveland, so I don't know. Should be interesting.
A lot of people like what they're doing down at Memorial Stadium in Lawrence, Kansas right now, too, because it's going to be Kansas on Saturday night, late, okay? After you get all of your games in and you think you're done with football, then you could tune in the Jayhawks at Nevada. It's going to be up in Reno. It is a 9:30 game, and Kansas is a prohibitive 28-point favorite.
I think you'd see Kansas as a 28-point favorite. But again, they didn't look so sharp in week one. Then last week, they just looked like they figured it out. Jalen Daniels was back. They just beat Illinois. And so, yeah, against Nevada, a 28-point favorite, I still think they probably cover that.
Mizzou is going to be at home. We usually don't talk a lot of Mizzou football here, but we're going to this week because it is a 11 o'clock Saturday morning game, and they've got Kansas State coming to town. Another, we had one last week with Nebraska-Colorado. We got another Big 8 matchup with K-State, Mizzou, and even though it is in Missouri, K-State, a 3.5-point favorite. And again, I think that K-State's much better than Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if K-State doesn't win this thing by 3 touchdowns, right? Missouri's just not that good. Kansas State is pretty decent, and so I think that that will be a runaway. I think Kansas and Kansas State, I mean, you put those two numbers together, they could probably win by a combined 50, you know? So, should be a good day for the Kansas schools. The Royals have already lost 100 and some games already. So that
on pace for his team record?
That thing's at least winding down, but there's still a lot of baseball left to be played.
And, you know, I hope that everybody stocked up and got some extra toilet paper because most of it is like in the neighborhoods around Atchison right now because it's homecoming week. And it'll be the Phoenix and Harmon here on KARE Radio tomorrow night. 7 o'clock ball game from Amelia Earhart Stadium. Peru State is coming to town. We'll have them with Benedictine up at Wilcox Stadium. 12:45 for the pregame and a 1 o'clock afternoon game here on KARE Radio on Saturday. Gotta thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Taco John's. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.